Matthew's Gospel then, chapter 12. And I want to draw your attention to the incident at the end of the chapter, verses 46 through to 50. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. He answered and said unto him and told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. I want to speak tonight about the household of faith. The household of faith, the family, and the fold of the Lord. Now in this incident, this story that we read here, we see that our Lord has two families. There are two families in the text. There is the earthly family, and there is the spiritual family. There is the biological next of kin, but there is also what we could call the soteriological family, the saved. Those who bear a physical relation to the Savior, and those who bear a saving relation to Him. So there are these two families. The first family is referred to in verses 46 and 47. His mother and his brethren, they stood without. And then the second family is referred to in verses 49 and 50. And because the Lord points to the disciples and He says, behold my mother and my brethren. And he refers to that second family. So in the first part of the text, the physical family. And in the second part of the text, the spiritual family. And in the very middle is the question of our Lord in verse 48. He answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And that's not only the central verse. It's not only in the middle of the two families, but it is the important part of the text, that question that our Lord asked. Who is my mother? And who are my brethren? So Jesus is in the midst of a group of people. His disciples are near him on the one hand, and his physical family are near him outside on the other hand, and he's in the midst. And he's asking this question. The family of Jesus, the physical family, if we look at them just for a moment or two, verses 46 and 47, we are told who they are. Behold, his mother and his brethren stood without. Now we know that Mary is his mother, and some people have inquired about, well, why is Joseph never mentioned, and why do they never speak about him? And most of the commentators believe that Joseph was probably a good bit older than Mary when they married, and that Joseph is now deceased. He's now dead, and we don't read of him in the gospel narratives. But his mother lives, and in fact outlived the Lord, as we know, because she was present at the cross. And then there are his brethren. In chapter 13, we are told that he had four brethren at least, and we're told the names of them. We don't know if all four brethren are here, this particular incident, or even if there are other brethren that aren't named, but we're told the names of four of them in Matthew 13, verse 55, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas. And the thing about these brethren that we're told about in the Bible is, in John 7, verse 5, neither did his brethren believe on him. So they're not believers, and they don't come believers until after the resurrection. And we know that two of those brethren, James and Jude, we know that they became believers, and we know that they wrote the epistles that we have after their names, James and Jude. And very interesting epistles they are too, having been written by near relatives of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the word brethren has often been debated among the scholars, and there are various opinions of the relationship that they bore to Jesus. But I think it is most likely that they are the children of Joseph by Mary. So they're younger brethren, born of Mary and born of Joseph. And so, in actual fact, they are half-brothers of our Lord Jesus, because we know that Joseph was only an adopted father and that the Lord Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. So that's the most common opinion, although it's not the universal opinion, about who these brothers are, half-brothers of the Lord Jesus. But they're family, nonetheless, even if they're not that close, as we stated there. Now, the thing that stands out about this family is two things. First of all, it's described here that they're standing without. They're outside. Mary and his brethren stood without. And that's interesting. They don't come in. They interrupt the teaching, but they don't come in. They don't come in to hear the teaching. They don't come in to join the crowd and hear what the Lord has said. They're not there to hear. They're not there to hear. They're not hearers of our Lord. They stood without. That's what the text says. So they're not disciples. They might have DNA of Mary and be related physically to Christ. They may have a love and regard for him as a family member, but they are not his disciples. And they're not here to hear his word, and they're not here to follow him. So that's the first thing that stands out. And the other thing is that they desire to speak with him. They desire to relate something to him or to make some inquiry from him. And we know from the parallel passage in Mark's Gospel, Mark puts it this way, that his brethren and his mother standing without sent unto him, calling him, and the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. Now, if you read the context of all the accounts of this story, it seems to be the reason why they have come is to take Jesus away. They know that he's becoming unpopular with the religious leaders. They are themselves beginning to think he's insane. He's mad. He's not right. There's something not right about his mind. And they are concerned for his safety. And the reason why they have come is they have come to take him away. They think he's beside himself. And they're come the things that he's saying to the Pharisees, and I think if we study the context of all of these incidents that are recorded, I think that's why they're here. They are here for to rescue him, to take him away to the safety of Nazareth. They mean well, but they're wrong. And they don't believe that this is the way of his mission. They don't believe that this is God's mission for Jesus. And they're interfering, and they're meddling, and they're not believing, while they may have some affection for Jesus. So, it's not a spiritual desire. That's what I'm saying. It's an interference in his mission. They're always interfering with him and his father and what he does in his... Do you not know that I must be about my father's business? That's the kind of thing he's constantly telling his family. You not know I'm on a mission? And now here they are again. The family are coming. They're calling them away. They're calling them out from the work. They're calling them to stop the preaching. They're calling them to come away with them. They are well-meaning, but they're wrong. Well, that's the scene. That's the scene on the one hand, this earthly family, this physical family. And then this man, he comes in and he conveys this information to Jesus and says that your mother and your brethren are standing outside and they want to speak with you. They want you to go out there. They want you to stop the preaching and go on out and talk to them and see what they want. And everybody has heard that. Because I don't believe the man has said that quietly. He hasn't come quietly and said, you know, Jesus, your family's out there. He said it in such a way that everybody hears it. And everybody's looking on now. And they're all watching. And the thing is, what will Jesus do? Will he be dictated to by his family? Will he just stop and leave? Are they going to have power over him? And so everybody's watching. Who's going to be first in his life? Is it the biological family? Or is it the household of faith and the mission of his father? Who's the master in Christ's life? That's what we're about to find out. And the Lord puts two questions to this man who gives him the tidings. And remember we said about questions, Jesus, whenever Jesus asks questions, he's not looking information. He's not sitting there ignorant. Well, who is my mother and who are my brethren? He never asks questions in ignorance, wanting to find out. They're always rhetorical questions. And he says, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And again, we have one of those quick responses. He doesn't have a pause waiting for an answer. He says, behold my mother and my brethren. And so we have a similar situation to that which we looked at this morning whenever the Lord asked a question. We have a quick behold after that question that the Lord Jesus Christ, that rhetorical question that he asked. So who is my family? There are two questions, but we can divide it into one, more or less. Who is my family? Who is my household? Who are my next of kin? And he indicates it with his hand. Because while he's preaching to a great crowd, his disciples are standing or sitting near to him. That's probably the 12, but not only the 12. The Lord had many more disciples than that. A lot of the women followed him. We know that. They were also disciples. And the Lord Jesus, to his true followers who are seated around him, they're all recognized. Those are the followers of Christ. However many or however few they are, the Lord stretches out his hand to them. He points them out. And he says, behold, my mother and my brethren. And so he points them out and he identifies them. These two families. But only one of them he stretches out his hand to and he owns. I have to ask you tonight, which family of Jesus mostly characterizes you and me? Are we those without? Are we those who have some knowledge of Jesus and some kind of sympathy with him and some kind of affection for him, but are not following him, not committed to him, standing aloof, standing distant, standing without, not really interested at all in his word? Does that characterize us? Or this other family who are committed, who are surrendered to him, who are hearing his word, who are following him, and who the Lord Jesus Christ points to? I ask you tonight, are you in that household? Are you part of that family? And is the hand of Jesus stretched out to you and saying to you, behold, my brethren? That's a very important question, congregation, for us tonight. Does the Lord stretch out his hand and say these words of our text, verse 49 and 50, to you and to me? Are we the Lord's true family? Are we the Lord's spiritual brethren? That's a very important question. And we really have to be able to answer it. And so I consider with you this family. Is it true then tonight of you and of me that we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens and saints, and as Paul says, of the household or of the family of God? So two things then about the Lord's household. about the Lord's true spiritual family. Two things. First of all, the heart that they have. And then secondly, the honor that they receive. The heart, first of all, that they have. They have a heart that is recognizable. Because Christ's family has the family trait. You know what it is in a family? They have traits that are identifiable with that family. Traits maybe in physical appearance, maybe in habits, or maybe in ways of doing things and thinking things. You recognize family traits. And it is so in the household and family of God. There's a family trait. And we get that family trait from the Father. And we get that family trait from our elder brother, Jesus Christ. There are traits and things about the Father and things about the Son of God, especially the Savior, that are identifiable in His family. What characterized the Savior? What trait is it that stands out in our Lord Jesus Christ? And it is, as we saw this morning, obedience to the will of His Father. That's the family trait. He says so, "Behold my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." That's the family trait. That's the thing that identified the Son of God. He did His Father's will. And that's the trait that's in the family. That's the trait that's in the younger brethren and the younger sisters. They do the will of God. Jesus said it. You see, this was Jesus' meat. "My meat is to do the will of my Father," He said. He said to His disciples, and whenever He was out serving His Father and He hadn't eaten, and they said to Him, they said about Him, "He hasn't eaten." And what did the Lord Jesus say? "I have meat that you know not of." He was talking about doing His Father's will. He said, "I delight to do the will of my Father. I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart." And you remember how He prayed in John 17? He said, "I have finished the work which Thou givest me to do." You see, that is what Jesus is doing now as He preaches to these people and as His mother and His brethren stand without. What's He doing? He's doing the will of His Father. He's bringing the word to the people. He's gathering His disciples around Him, and that family without are trying to interfere with that. And they don't have the family trait. But Jesus has the family trait as the elder brother, and the disciples there, they have the family. They're doing the will of the Father. And so you see then, the true disciples, that's what He says. It says here, He stretched forth His hand towards His disciples. You see, there were a lot of people in this crowd. There were Pharisees, we know that. The Pharisees answered Him and they seemed to be present. But He didn't put His hands towards the Pharisees, and He didn't stretch His hand out over the whole crowd. But He stretched His hands out to His disciples where they were. And He says, "Behold, my brethren and my sisters." The true disciples are His family. Those who are interested in doing God's will are His family. If you're a Christian this evening, you will be interested in God's will. And if you are to become a Christian, you're going to have to be interested in God's will. There is no Christianity without doing the Father's will. It's not just enough to hear it. It's not just enough to sit in the pew and to hear the Word of God. It's not just enough to think about it. It's not just enough to talk about it. What did Jesus say? Whosoever shall do the will of God. That's Christianity. Doing God's will. That's how we started the Christian life. There's no commencing the Christian life even without doing the Father's will. One becomes a Christian by beginning to do the Father's will. That's how we started out on the Christian life. You have to start doing God's will. There's no other way to be a Christian. Keep on doing the devil's will and you'll perish. Keep on doing your own will and your sin and you'll perish. You have to commence doing the Father's will. There's no other way to get into the family and the household of faith. They that do the will of my Father. So it's not hearing the word. It's not talk. It's doing. It's so clear in the text, isn't it? You have to start doing the Father's will. And what is the Father's will for sinners? And how do sinners start doing the Father's will? Well, the road to commence it is faith and repentance. That's what sinners have to start doing. Faith and trust in the Son of God and repentance for all our sins. That's the Father's will. And that's how a man enters into the narrow gate. Faith in Christ and repentance for sin. There's no other way. Remember how the Lord Jesus said, "This is the work of God. This is what God wants you to do. This is His will. This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He has sent." That's me, Jesus says. You have to believe in me. That's the Father's will. And all of these disciples, they're believing on me. Those brethren outside there standing aloof, they're not believing on me. They're not doing the Father's will. But these disciples, they're trusting me. They're following me. And that's doing the Father's will, believing on Christ. You remember how the Father appeared, or the Father's voice was heard on the Mount of Transfiguration, and He said, This is my beloved Son. Hear Him. And that's the Father's will, to believe in Christ, to hear Him, to discover the will of God from Him. Remember how God said in the Old Testament, "I raise Him up a prophet from among their brethren, I'll put my words in His mouth. He'll speak unto them all that I shall command Him. And it'll come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words that he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." He has to believe in my prophet. He has to hear my prophet. He has to do what my prophet says. What does the Bible say is the Father's will? Kiss the Son. What does the Bible say is the Father's will? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that's how a sinner begins to do God's will. The first thing that you have to do is to believe in Jesus Christ, to trust Him. And also repent. For God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And that's to be sorry for their sins and to regret them and to turn from them. And so you see, those are the marks of the household of faith. That's how they got into the household of faith. His brethren did not yet believe in Him. They're not in the household of faith. But the disciples did. They are. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So they who are outside are not born again. And they don't have the family trait. And they're not really interested in the word. really? They're not listening. They're not, and they're certainly not obeying. They're distant from Christ, even though they have his DNA. No. And so that's how one begins a Christian life. And you know something? Secondly, that's the heart of the household of God. That's how one continues the Christian life. One who says he believes and repents and does not continue in the Christian life of obedience and doing the Father's will is not a true Christian. He has not been born again. He has not undergone a radical conversion. One who is a true Christian is in the household of faith and is among the disciples of Jesus Christ. And one who is a true Christian continues the Christian life. The family trait continues after conversion. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. And the implication is that those who aren't doing it are not. They're not in the family. They're doing the devil's will. They're doing their own will. They don't care about God's will. They're not in the family. They don't have the family trait. They don't have the family mark. They don't have the family birthmark. Doing God's will. Christians are not just professors saying they are Christians. Christians are doers. They have an interest in God's will. The important word is do. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father. Christians want to please God. Christians want to follow the Lord. Now it is true that they seek grace to do that. It is true that they do it ever so weakly and feebly and imperfectly. That is true. But it is their desire. It's in their heart. It's what they want. And whenever they're not in conformity with God's will, they feel it and they know it. The trait is not yet perfect in them, but it's there. And they recognize where the Father's will is revealed in the Word. And they recognize the importance of the Word, and they seek out of the Word of God as well to do it. And they pray, speak, Lord. Or they say such things as, teach me, O Lord, like the psalmist said, teach me to do thy will. That's what they want to do. Teach me to do it. Give me the grace to do it. Psalmist said, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. And so the family have an interest in the Word. But the outside family have not. They break the commandments. They don't give heed to the Word. There is no humble submission to the will of God. Sinners have no humility. And they certainly don't have any submission. No submission in them. They're rebellious and stubborn. Like their father, the devil. Are you in the family? Have you been born again? Do you trust and repent and endeavor to obey the Lord? Are you a Christian? Doing. You remember how the Lord Jesus said, therefore by your fruits you know them. He said that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that frightening? Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. I mean, when you say, Lord, Lord, that sounds so earnest and so sincere. Lord, Lord. And yet he says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth my Father's will. Just what he said here tonight. That's what it is. Ye are my friends, he said, my family, if ye do whatsoever I command you. So the heart that they have. And then secondly, the honor that they receive from the Lord. He stretched forth his hand and he said, behold, my mother and my brethren. And so they receive this honor. And then he repeats it again, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So twice he says it, my mother and my brethren, with his hand outstretched. And then he says, whoever shall do the will of my Father, the same is my mother and my brethren. And he even includes a little addition there for the women folk, my sister, my sister. And I have to say, that's a great honor. The Lord wants the crowd to know who he owns as his next of kin. The Lord wants the crowd to know whom he owns as his people, as his children. And perhaps this is a good opportunity to say something to the devotees of Mary. I know there are no devotees of Mary here. I know that. But maybe the recording will be heard. And I want to say something to Roman Catholic. We all love Mary. We love Mary. We do. But we're not devoted to her. And we don't pray to her. And we don't trust her. And we can't do that. You see, Mary made mistakes in her life. She's a sinner. She's a sinner just like us. And in the story, she appears on the wrong side. And what is more, her appeal is rejected because she sends word, I want to speak to you. Come out here to speak to you. But Jesus doesn't come out, and he doesn't even own his mother. He says, behold, my mother, my mother's here. And he rejected his earthly mother when she interfered with the Father's mission, and he gave the title to his disciples. And that's very interesting. You see, because there are people who think Jesus always hears his mother. And if we pray to Mary, Jesus will hear Mary. And if we can win Mary's heart, she'll win Jesus' heart. And you know, that's how the poor Roman Catholics live. They think Jesus is hard and cross, and that the only way to soften him is through his mother. And they believe that genuinely and sincerely. And we have to say to our Roman Catholic neighbors, whose salvation we desire and whom we love, we have to say to them, learn from this passage. Mary has no weight with Jesus. She made mistakes. What you have to do is to do the will of God and believe in Jesus Christ alone and do God's will. And so I think the Roman Catholics could learn from this passage. But what an honor to have Christ's hand extended to us, pointing us out and owning us. You're my family. That was a great honor. And I want to tell you, brethren and sisters, if you're Christians tonight, all of you have this honor. Every one of you. He's stretching his hand out to you, and he's saying, you're my mother, and you're my brethren. And I want you to take that to heart. That's comforting. That is so encouraging. He professes them. That's what this means. That's the honor. He professes them. He's not ashamed of them. Doesn't the Bible say? He's not ashamed to call them brethren. And here it is. The Pharisees are there. All the world is there. And his family's outside. And he puts forth his hand. He says, these are my brothers. These are my brethren. Look at them. You despise them. They're fishermen. They're dressed in rags. They haven't got a good education. But they're my brethren. And before the throne of God above, Jesus says the same thing to his Father. My brethren. My brethren. He's our elder brother. And he's not ashamed of us. He's not ashamed of us. So he professes his family. And he protects his family. Because that's what he's saying. This is the honor he's giving to them. He protects his family. He means he'll defend them and he'll guard them. Who wouldn't guard a dear mother Or who wouldn't guard dear siblings? And I tell you, Jesus guards us. He treats us like a mother. Imagine that. Treating us like a mother. Looking after us like young brothers and sisters. He protects us. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is around about his people now and always. He protects them. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they'll never perish, and nobody will pluck them out of my hand. They're my mother and my brethren and my sister. And he provides for his family. You know what the Bible says? If a man doesn't provide for his own house, he's an infidel, he's denied the faith. If a man lets his house go to the dogs, he has no faith. And I tell you this, Jesus Christ doesn't let his family go to the dogs. He doesn't. He provides for them. He looks after them. He feeds them. And every one of them can say, the Lord's my shepherd. I'll not want. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He's the kinsman redeemer. And he does the kinsman part. Provides for them. Just like Boaz provided for Ruth. And then the last thing is he prays for his family. This is why he intercedes for them. They're his family. Even we sinners pray for our family. You think Christ doesn't pray for his? He prays. In fact, that's all he ever lives to do. He lives to pray for them and intercede for them. And he'll not rest. He'll not rest till every one of them with him is at home in glory, in the house. In the house to which they belong. Father, I will that those that you give me be with me. Where I am in your house. And he's up there at the right hand of the Father. And that's what he's praying night and day. Until every one of them's brought in. He prays for his brethren. He prays till all the family's in. Till all the family's home. He looks after his family. Ever lives to pray for us. And so in God's household, that's the way it is. And I have to say, sinner, if you're not in the family of God, you need to get in tonight. You need to get in tonight. And the way in is faith in the Son of God. And regret and repentance for your sins. And a desire for grace. To become obedient to God's will. That's Christianity. And that's what it is to be in the family of God. So may all in this house be truly in the household of faith. Let's pray then.